The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
So there is a new film playing that details the story of one of the great ways to circumnavigate a system, that being the guys who managed to win the lotto by statistically gaming the lotto. Here's a little sample from the movie.
And I was given a tip by the person on the other end of the phone to be at the bridge at Harold's Cross, where there was a newsagent, and something kind of strange would happen.
Like, they didn't believe that it could be done.
The person on the other end of the phone was Paddy Keogh. I didn't know who he was.
At this particular stage, like, the whole country knew about it, shopkeepers knew about it.
And of course, got there with the crew. We were waiting, and a car pulls up. Paddy gets out with a box, which was quite clear, it was full of money. And he walks into the newsagents. Now, we're barred from following him in, but we could see him handing the money over, trying to basically play for the tickets. And we knew at that stage, you know, the prediction was they would fail. This was a desperate attempt.
Paddy Keogh is a racehorse owner and businessman and says he's one of 100 members of the Mystery Lotto Syndicate.
There was a certain, you know, the villain trying to offload the cash to buy these tickets in a desperate attempt to evade the law. Because part of me was also thinking, it's a bit like, you know, you're looking at the lovable rogues who kind of bested the lawman. You know, Paddy is clearly was to his benefit to see me turning up to tell their side of the story. But there was a little element that maybe we were witnessing a bit of a caper. It was just a bunch of mainly fellas going out on a bit of a limb to get one over on an institution.
You wouldn't put a value on the tickets the syndicate has bought, but predicted it would be picking up tomorrow night's jackpot check.
So, Paddy Keogh, how much was in the box when you walked into the newsagents?
There wasn't as much in as what people were saying. There was about 15,000, I would say. That I was the second time around. I had got my money, my entries on the day before, and I was going back around again. And actually, Colin Murray, who worked for RTE, he happened to be in one of the shops that I went into. And he asked me what the hell I was at with all the money, and sure, I had to tell him, like, and I think Colin got in touch with somebody else. That's how come that the cameras turned up.
So how did this caper start?
Well, we were doing, as I said, we were doing the UK lotto, and any time there was a carryover there, Stefan would have a syndicate going. You know, so small, it started off small. If there was a carryover, then it got big. But when the Irish lotto came out, it didn't take a lot of thinking to figure out that all this could be done for a million. And actually, Charlie McGreevy was the shadow minister for finance at the time, and he asked the question to the Dáil, could somebody like, I think he mentioned John Magner's name, come in with a million and cover all the numbers? And they said, no, it wasn't possible. But Stefan wasn't long figuring out like that. This could be done for less than a million.
Well, Stefan is Stefan Klincevic, who is the mathematician who did that working, and he's with us this morning. Morning, Stefan.
Morning to you, Anton.
So tell us how you figured out that this was beatable.
Okay. First, crucial part of the project, if I could call it that, was that three or four times a year, the National Lottery would give out a bonus prize of £100 for every match four prize. So it didn't take long to work out that by purchasing all the combinations that there would be 6,500 prizes of match four tickets, which would equate 650,000. And then plus the other small prizes like the match fives and so forth would have brought the guaranteed money coming in from winnings to about £700,000. So then there was the jackpot on top of that. So it didn't take much thinking that the risk was almost eliminated even without the jackpot prize. But the crucial part was there were two elements to it. One, we had to have the guaranteed £100. And two, we had to have a jackpot rollover. So how it all started then basically was I approached the National Lottery about a year beforehand and said, OK, guys, can I transfer a million, just under a million, into your account? and can you give me one ticket to confirm that we've purchased all the numbers? Now, this was in National Lottery headquarters, so the guy went off
and said no.
The guy went off and said, listen, hang on, I'll be back in.
Oh, I think we've a problem on the line there. We'll get Stefan back. Is Stephanie still with us?
Money.
Oh, there you are.
But he said, if you go and mark all the cards, then that would be okay. So in my mind, I just simply said, okay, guys, I'm going to do just that.
Now, how many cards did that mean?
Well, just short of 2 million. Do you want me to give you the exact number?
1,973,000.
Is that the exact number? 1,973,000. Now, how did this come to you then, Paddy? How did you two get together and decide this was a good idea?
Well, as I said, I knew Stefan for years. He was introduced to me by a friend of his, Sean Fagan. I was doing work for Sean, and the lads were doing the UK Lotto. So Sean asked me, would I come in? So he introduced me to Stefan.
And Stefan, that means that you needed to get together not only 1,978,000 tickets, but nigh on the same amount of money. Was it 2 million quid that you needed to find?
1 million.
No. At the time, it was only 50 pence per entry.
Oh, cheap price.
So it was just under 2 million times 50 pence. So we could say short of 1 million.
Now, the logistics of this, because those numbers, how long does it take to fill in 1,978,000 lotto tickets?
Well, it took me just about 10 months, but I did have assistance and help. My son, Stefan Jr., who's in the movie, in fact, spent 10 months of his life filling out those cards at home with me.
Oh, dear Lord. And what, just starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6?
No, it was broken down into sequences, such as, for example, three consecutive pairs of numbers, 1 and 2, 9 and 10, 31 and 32. Then it was broken down to a 3, a 2, a 1, a 4 and a 2, and so on. So all the categories of combinations were segregated. That meant that the least likely that I felt would not be drawn were left to the very end. For example, that the probability of six even numbers or six odd numbers, you'd only see them once or twice a year. So they were left to the very end. Now, they still statistically had an equal chance, but logically speaking, they didn't have. So that's how it was all worked out.
Now, this then meant that we come to having to get the money into the news agents and buy all this. How did you structure that? How many people, Paddy, did you have going into news agents and handing over money?
Well, like everybody that was in it, the bigger ones like myself and Morris Owens and John Byrne, we all got our own on. Like, you know, then.
So what was your total outlay?
My total outlay was 125,000. And what I done was I went to the bank the week before, and I had been going around to these shops for previous 6 months saying to them, would you take a large amount of money off us? And he said, no, bring in whatever. So I got 25 banker's drafts made out, 5,000 each. I went around again 11:30 the next morning. I had all mine on.
But that's 300,000 lottery tickets.
Yeah. I just handed in an envelope with 5,000 coupons or 5,000 entries, 5,000 cash. And I said, I'll be back for them whenever. You know, so I collected all them that day.
Now, the National Lottery must have got wind of this. How did they react?
Well, there was a lot of things happened that day. Like, there was a thunderstorm up the north of Ireland. Electricity went out. So the people in Monaghan and Louth, they were all coming down to Dublin, Meath, Westmeath. You know what I mean? And then the lottery themselves, they closed down, threatened the people if we took these tickets or these entries, that they would lose their licence, you know. And then on the Friday, there was a big problem as well. A lot of people came in, say, a banker's draft, say, for 20,000, 30,000. And when all the money that we had in the headquarters, when that all was gone, Morris Owens and John Byrne, they went to the banks trying to get cash. And they weren't given cash. So the boys said, the game is up. They went down into the Leeson Lounge, which is more or less our second headquarters. And they were there talking, what are we going to do? You know, they didn't tell me at the time, because if I'd been told with all the money I'd in it, you know. But anyway, there happened to be a friend of mine sitting at the bar drinking. He was a solicitor, and he overheard the lads talking. And he said, look, I've got a friend who owns, I think, for Spar Supermarkets. And he said, anything that's left over that you can't get on, he said, I'll put it on. Like, without any, you know, he said, look, don't worry about money. Give me a few quid if you win.
So, Stefan, to go back to you then, how are you finding the stress of this? Because the rubber's hitting the road at this point.
Well, it wasn't so much the stress. It was the annoyance that the machines being shut down by what the National Lottery then did at the time. They restricted the purchase of tickets at the lottery terminals to, I think it was £250. So, right, how in the goddamn hell can we get over £250 limit? So it meant creating a pyramid system of an army where... where one person would get 10 friends and those 10 friends would get five more. So 20 people brought in, I think, about 350 individuals who were all given 250 quid. Very few people knew about this, but I was panicking. And I always had the attitude that, look, there's a solution to every problem. We got to find it.
And you had 350 people going around the country with 250 quid trying to find lottery tickets.
Well, maybe a little bit less than that. I never knew the exact total because some neighbours and friends and family, I don't know whether they got 20 or 30 people each or maybe even only 10, but that's how the tickets finally towards the end were given out.
So give us the big spoiler alert then. It all ended, a draw happened. How did it come out for you?
Well, I don't think that would be revealing the plot in the film, wouldn't it?
Well, I understand it to be a matter of public record, so I don't know if we'd be totally spoiling the film, but I won't push too far on it. When you went into the draw, you, I'm sure, could do a computation on the risk. What was your risk profile? How well covered were you?
We had one chance in 10 that we may not win the jackpot prize.
With a million quid in play.
Yeah, well, the hope was, say a million outlay, the hope was that we would double our money and get back 2 million plus. So it was all dependent on us being the only winner of the jackpot prize, if we had the winning ticket.
Paddy, in hindsight, was it worth it?
Ah, it was. It was a great bit of crack. And we beat the system, like, you know what I mean?
Is that how you measure the success in the endeavour? It isn't to do with how much money you made. It's
not really.
A bit of crack.
It's a bit of crack, yeah.
When it was all done, how did you manage to disperse the money if you had an army of 350 people? Had somebody got a note of who had put in what?
No, Stefan had a record of everybody that was in it. You know what I mean? And afterwards then, they got whatever, the equivalent of whatever money they did. Like, there was old ladies in it, like, there was 100 or 200. Bloody nuisance, but, like, for Stefan. But still in all, like, he got it right in the end.
Now, Stefan, just finally, the year of this, was Excel in existence? How are you keeping track of all of this?
Of keeping track of what, Anton?
The money, the people, the little old ladies, the 100 euro, the 150 grand, the fox goose bag and corn, all of it.
No, well, we were very fortunate. We had a very good solicitor, Brendan Liddy, who, one of the syndicate members arrived into my office with a briefcase and he had 220,000 quid in it, in cash. And I said, Jesus, I don't want to see this. Go to Brendan Liddy with it, which wasn't far away, you know. And so really the solicitor we had, Brendan, vetted everything, made sure it was tax compliant and all the legal angles to it to ensure that it was completely bona fide and above board.
What else have you won over your career, Stefan?
Well, I think that if I told you everything, Anton, there'd probably be a helicopter taking me out of the country afterwards. An awful lot of things, but an awful lot of it was small money, maybe only 2,000 or 3,000 between Paddy and myself. We would do jackpots at the Greyhound races. We even went over to jackpots in the UK, Paddy and myself, for jackpots and things like that that were big enough to justify travelling.
And any high points beyond jack points in Greyhound racing? Paddy's giving me a very steely look here.
Well, we won houses and we won duplexes and we won open cars and we won anything that was going until people stopped putting up those type of you know.
It is a great yarn. Guys, thank you very much for coming in. Paddy Keogh here in studio and Stefan Klincevich, the mathematician behind the Greyhound Wins, the duplexes, the apartments, the Opel cars, and of course that major lottery. We think win, but you'll have to find and read the movie or watch the movie to find out the exact result.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.